At this time, we're going to ask everyone stand for the reading of God's word, and we're going to minister what God has placed on our heart for the house of God as quickly as we can so that we can get to some victuals. Amen? Yeah, some good eating today. Today, we're going to look at the word of God from James, the epistle of James, chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. New King James Version. James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Father, while they're standing and turning their Bibles, we ask that you bless this time that you've allowed us to come together. As the speaker of the hour, I submit and surrender to your word, your way, and your will, and I ask that you would use me in a special way, and that you give us all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and to us individually, and empower us to live your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. If you're able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's word. And the word of the Lord reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. My brethren, count it all joy. My brethren, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church, brothers. Anytime he's talking, when he speaks to brothers and sisters, this is not a message to the world. This is a message to the church. He say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He say, be joyful when you fall into various trials. We're going to preach from the subject, faith on trial. Amen. The trying of our faith. Faith on trial. In Jesus' name, Lord, help me with this message. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Faith on trial. The trying of our faith. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. Let me read it from the Message Bible. If you can get the Message Bible, put it up there right quick. Same verse of scripture. Message Bible. Subtitle is Faith Under Pressure. Listen to how the Message Bible says it, and maybe this will help you a little better. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Anybody ever been there? Okay, I'm going to read it again because I didn't get an amen from everybody. The words say, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Got a little more clarity on that, y'all? He said, there's a reason. He said, first of all, what I love about this is that the Bible said in all translations, count it joy when you fall into various trials. Anybody in here fall on purpose? Amen. If you fall, praise God, if you fall, it wasn't done intentionally. Amen. You fell into something. So we're not talking about somebody just going out doing stuff. These are either tricks and traps of the enemy or they're God sent. Amen. Trials and tribulations. And the reason I said that God sent, because what happens here is God is trying to get something from us. Yeah. It says, remember what he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Yeah, we're going somewhere with that. So when God sends a test, it's not to kill you. He's trying to produce or create something in you. Someone has rightly said, anybody ever heard this? A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. I'm going to say that again. A faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. That's why I want you to know, if you don't get nothing else, if you are a born-again, fire-baptized believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you do everything that you possibly can to live a righteous life, if you are testifying of the goodness and the faithfulness of God over your life, if you are walking in expectation of the promises that God has spoken over your life, I'm here to tell you today, you must, not you, but your faith must stand trial. There's no way around it. The devil, first of all, ain't gonna let you just believe what God said and don't try you. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, both God and the devil gonna make you prove that you believe what you confessing. James used the word trying of our faith, but it might be in the Greek, it's better, help me, Lord, interpreted as that word trying as approving. In other words, God is approving our faith, which what that simply means is that when God ordains a trial or a test for us, it's not the mere being in the test or the trial that's the blessing. It's overcoming. We're getting victory over the test. Why? Because the victory in the test of the trial moves you to spiritual maturity and growth. Do you see what I'm saying? So God puts you in situations, what we call challenges, he's not trying to kill us. He's not trying to make us embarrass us. He's trying to create or make something in you grow. Does that make sense? Truth be told, we don't even know that we have faith until you've been in a good fight. You don't know you can believe. How you know you really believe God a healer till you've been sick and the doctor say, I don't know what's going on. Come on, y'all. I say, how do you know you got faith that God will supply? Oh, my God, Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Until you open the fridge, it ain't nothing in there. I say, God will put you in situations because you've been around here testifying and somebody testifying that how good God is. And then he'll put you in a situation where he looked bad. Because you said he good, and he want to see if you really believe. Your faith must stand trial. Are you with me? And you got to be like Joe. See, when your faith stand trial, the way we know you got the victory is, you even in the midst of when it looked like God ain't there, your integrity still stands. Yeah, you still believe God. When it looked like God ain't going to show up. Matter of fact, when it looked like God doing it, you got the nerve to say, naked I came into this world and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the kind of faith. That's your faith must stand trial. Faith, faith, faith. Now faith. Hebrews 11:1 gives us the definition of faith. Now faith is the things, the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Goes on to say around verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we learned about that, we said then really true, genuine faith is when you move beyond just believing in God, but you just simply believe God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember we said that? We got everybody believe in God. Matter of fact, he say even the devils believe in God and tremble. But real faith say, I just believe God. I just take him at his word when he said I'm the head and not the tail, but I'm at the end of the line right now. I still stand on his word. Your faith. Our faith got to stand trial. According to James, our faith must be tested, and he told us to have joy. Have joy during the test. And how many have this question always? Why do God allow such hard times to those whom he say he loves? Or how can a loving God, y'all know them silly questions, how can a loving God allow these things? First of all, there's a thing known as sin. Amen. Sin brought all of this on. But the truth of the matter is, God, we just read in James why he allowed hard times. It's because he's trying to produce something in you that obviously is not there right now. Yeah. That's why I now understand, according to what James just said, when I apply that to Abraham's life, who is at the time was Abram, who became the father of the faith. Now I understand, if you go back to Genesis, when God told him to leave his family, go to a land that I'm going to show you, and Abram did exactly what God told him, which was a faith move. But as soon as he did what God told him, he ended up in a famine. Does anybody remember that? I said he did exactly what God said, and God led him into a famine. Why would a God who loved me lead me into a place where there's nothing to eat? You know why? Because he's trying to create hunger in you. You don't hear what I'm saying? I say he'll lead you to a drought. Why? Because he's trying to create thirst in you. Because he know they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So if you ain't hungry, he'll lead you to somewhere where there ain't nothing to eat until you show that you got a hunger for the things of God. If you ain't thirsty for the things of God, he'll lead you somewhere. He'll have you going to the club, sitting at the seat with your drink and talking about, you know, I'm getting tired of this. You don't hear what I'm saying. What used to bring you joy, now you're still sitting in there sipping on a martini and still thirsty. You don't hear what I'm saying. Why? Because God is trying to lead you and get something out of you. He's trying to produce something out of you. God leads you into tough situations to produce something out of you. So James 1 and 4 say, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. That's tough, y'all. See, that's some tough reading. You want me to stay broke? Yeah, if the only way you're going to get it is the world's way. Was it Moses who said he would rather, he would rather suffer with his brothers than to live in the palace with the king, with the Pharaoh? Sometimes it's better to suffer with nothing with God than to live with the heathen with every, okay, Jesus said it this way. It's better to, what he said, to, help me, Lord. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? That's what Jesus said. He said, what good is it to keep doing things the world's way and have it now, but eternally you lose it all? Faith tests. So often God orders these tests and trials, y'all. These troubles, these hard times. And he does it to, if you will, build our spiritual muscles. He's trying to build us up to make us stronger. Go to 1 Peter. Help me out quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, New Living Translation. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. I want to show you something here. We're moving quickly today. Y'all with me? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. We're talking about your faith on trial. So be truly glad, verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1. There is a wonderful joy ahead. There it is again, joy in trials. He said there's a wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary. Somebody say it's necessary. He said it's necessary for you to endure many trials. He said, come on, there's a wonderful joy coming, but it's necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. Not forever. Come on, y'all. Not forever. Come on, come on. He said, help me, Lord. It's just for a little while. Joy is coming, but over the next 6 months, every job opportunity going to turn you down. Woo! You don't hear what I'm saying? They're going to keep, it's going to look like you the best. Joy is coming, but for a little while, you're going to have to endure some trials. And these trials are only to test your faith. Are y'all with me? I'm reading the Bible. He said, verse 7, these trials are only to test your faith to show that it is strong and pure. God say, I'm denying your request to test if you really believe me and trust me. Why? Because I want to see if your faith is strong and pure. Is it just lip service, or do you really believe what I'm saying? He says, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious than gold, mere gold to God. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed. Amen. That's some good word right there, y'all. Because what the word is saying, that these trials, these problems, these situations, these difficulties, they're going to come into our life, but they're just a test to prove our faith in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Oh, God, I say all the time, it's not the devil, y'all. Many times it is God. But God loves us so much, he'll customize your problem. Y'all, do I need to remind you of Jonah? Jonah had a situation and a problem, but God customized the problem for him. What do you mean, Pastor? When Jonah didn't do what God wanted him to do, God didn't just let him go jump overboard and any fish swallowed him up. The scripture clearly says God prepared a great fish. See, y'all missed it. It says God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, not to kill him, but for a while. Yeah, God prepared. I'm here to tell you, God has customized that problem you in right now. It's not to kill you. It's only for a while. And soon and very soon, when he produced in you what he's trying to get, just like Jonah, he going to spit you out. Yeah, your problem going to have to, the one translation say, vomit you back on dry land. And when he came out, it didn't even look like he'd been in no fish. You don't hear what I'm saying? God told me to tell you, when he get through with you and your problem spit you out, you ain't going to look like what you've been through. Somebody ought to give God some praise for that. God say, I need you to trust me, because I'll create a problem to see if you really trust me. Because many people are quick to say they trust God. Come on. I'll tell you in a minute. Yeah, I trust him. And then I spill coffee on my way to work. And I lost my everlasting mind. Can't even, done forgot I got to preach. He said, I thought you trusted me. Just let the coffee spill all over my shirt. My wife kept saying, you got another shirt. Why are you tripping? Amen. But I said, you see what I'm saying? He said, do you trust me? Even if you had to preach with coffee on your shirt, are you still going to do what I told you to do? Some of us can have something as simple as that, and you turn around and go back home. Pastor, I ain't going to be able to make it today. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He said, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I said, many people are quick to say they trust the Lord with their mouth. But if you watch their actions, it say something else. Yeah, 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 yeah. Jeremiah 17:5 says this. Jeremiah 17:5. Read it from the Amplified Bible. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man. The Lord said this. Thus says the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in and rely on mankind, making weak, faulty human flesh his strength, and whose mind and heart has turned away from the Lord. One of the very first tests we're going to get as it pertains to our faith is, do you trust God first? Yeah, I say that's going to be a test you're going to have to pass over and over and over again. Do you trust me, or are you trusting in methods, and are you trusting in the government? Are you trusting in this and that? Let me tell you something. God often, if not 95% of the time, he going to use other people to help us. Yeah. Down here in this earth, he uses people. Amen. He ain't, in most cases, ain't no angel with flapping wings and a halo coming knocking on your door talking about job. No, he's going to use somebody and touch them. Spirit of the Lord is going to be on them, and they're going to call you and say, girl, they got an opening, and this is just for you. You need to fill out this application, and you do what they tell you, and you get the job. God uses people. That's how he does down here in this earth. He'll use your family. He'll use friends. He'll use the pastor, the bishop, the teacher, the candle maker. He'll use anybody who he chooses to use. But ultimately, what we have to do is trust in God and not the people. Come on, y'all. Listen, I said, if God uses pastor or me or pastor or one of the ministers or even your brother, or your sister to bless you, you can't mistakenly put your trust in them and not or misplace your trust in them and take it away from God. You know what God calls that? Idolatry. Yeah. God say, anything you put before me, anything you give your trust to before me is idolatry. And I hate idolatry. He say, I'm a jealous God. There will be nothing else. Do you want to know? I can test you right now. All I have to do is ask you a couple of questions. Who do you turn to when you have a bad experience in your life? When a crisis hit, what's your first call, your first text, your first I am, your first, who do you call when you're hurting, you're depressed, you're afraid? Who do you call first? Who? When the bills are due and you don't have the money, who is your first call? Who is your sugar daddy? Help me, Lord. Come on. I say, who do you call on? Are you calling daddy? Because you know daddy got big money. Auntie, she got big money. When is God going to be your first call? Why is he always the last resort instead of being the first choice? That's what God is saying. He said, I can tell if you really trust me. Because if you really trust me, you won't be calling on everybody else before you sit down and have a talk with me. Help me, Lord. I'm preaching to myself because I don't hear nobody in here. I'm by myself today. So we got to be real careful, y'all. We got to be real careful not to inadvertently misdirect our faith towards God's provision instead of toward God, the provider. Make sense? See, we get so caught up in the need that we forget to go to the one who supplies the need. Help me, Lord. I'm trying to teach you. So ultimately, this is what God wants to get us to. I'm almost through. I'm right here. This is where God, he's trying to get us to a place in our faith. This is going to throw a monkey wrench in some of our theology, but I got scripture for you. Are you ready? I said, God is trying to get us to a place in our faith where we're not always asking for and expecting miracles. Yeah, I just messed up somebody right there. Come on, go to Matthew 16, verse 4. Let me show you how Jesus break this thing down. Yeah, he said, the disciples, I'm trying to get you to a place where we don't always have to feed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves. I'm trying to get you to a place where they got enough faith to get out of bed and go to work. I'm trying to get you to a place where you don't have to always expect and pray and beg for a miracle. Are you ready? Matthew 16, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees after they ask him a question. Listen to what he says. They ask him about a sign. We need you to give us a sign. And Jesus say, you wicked and adulterous generation, you seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Okay, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Here's the Amplified. Listen to what Jesus called these people. He says, an evil and morally unfaithful generation. That's what Jesus says. He says, you are evil and you are a morally unfaithful generation that craves a miraculous sign. But no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. What is Jesus saying? Could it be that Jesus is saying, why do you keep asking for a miracle? He said, what he's literally saying, sometimes depending on who it is and the situation, you expecting a miracle is really a lack of faith. See, in other words, Jesus says sometimes we're praying about things that he's already supplied. And you believe in him to perform a miracle when what he's already done is in you. See, there are many people and many teachings that's going on today that they feel, please hear me, they feel that they demonstrate great faith by continually asking and believing God for miracles. But they erroneously assume, y'all, that in every situation, please hear me, I got Bible, they erroneously assume that in every situation, God wants to heal everybody. God wants to provide a way of escape. Do I have to warn, do y'all know Apostle Paul? Yeah. Can you imagine how Paul felt when he prayed about a thorn? He called it a thorn in the flesh. Paul had the thorn in the flesh, my belief, was something to do with his eyes. Yeah. And I believe, and oh, help me, Lord. I know why God did it. God even told him why he did it. He said he gave, first of all, this is the scripture that God told him he wasn't going to heal him, but my grace is sufficient for you. So that lets you know right there that if God don't intend to heal and deliver you from everything, because some stuff he say he gonna get more glory if you carry it. And you carry it with integrity. You carry it with your head up, your shoulders back, walking in faith, even though he didn't deliver you from that. He said, because I know if I deliver you from that, I might not see you next week. And you know why? I know that because Paul said a messenger from Satan was sent to buffet me unless I be lifted up. In other words, he said, God allowed this thing to stay on me because he had such great work for me to do, and he didn't want me to get the big head and think that I was God. So he left something that would say, I need you, Jesus. Oh, how I need you. Even though I walk and people get healed by pulling the handkerchiefs off me, but I still need Jesus. You don't hear what I'm saying. He say, I'll leave some stuff in your life. I'll leave some lack in your life so that I can get the glory. Because some of y'all, he say, if I did everything, you'll be in the Bahamas chilling. Hallelujah. He say, you wouldn't be back this week. He say, I got to leave some stuff to keep you coming. He said, so there are some things that God may not intend to fully remove. But please hear me. He'll give you the grace to bear it. That's the kind of God he is. He'll give you the grace to bear it. And he'll do that to the ones who he know is going to use what he gave them to the glory of God. So what am I saying? In the text that we read in Matthew 16, Jesus rebuked y'all. He rebuked those people who insisted that he perform miracles. Why? Because he knew their hearts. Now, I'm not preaching that God don't perform miracles. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when he's trying to build up a faith, he's looking for a faithful person. He's looking for a faithful person. Don't remember what we said real genuine faith is. It's not just believing in God, but simply believing God. So a faithful person, true, genuine faith, he recognized the reason he wasn't going to perform no miracles is because those people could not believe and trust him without constantly being undergirded and supported with some miracles. That's not the kind of faith God is looking for. And he say, I ain't performing no miracles on demand. Missed it. He said, I ain't HBO or who are these on demand folk where you can sit around with your remote control living all kind of hell, ain't loving God, ain't giving, ain't doing nothing righteous, but you just want to click miracle. God say, I ain't that kind of God. He said, you're going to have faith to walk in your deliverance. You're going to have faith to live a righteous life and believe me for who I am. Yeah. Faith. God is looking for faith is going to have to stand trial. Anybody ever had, help me, Lord, I know you know what I'm talking about. Anybody ever had one of them stress tests at by a cardiologist? Woo, see the ones who know what I'm talking about? You too, sis? Woo! I told them folks, if I wasn't dying, y'all sure trying to kill me when I could finally catch my breath. If y'all don't know what a stress test is, what they do, they put you in, it's kind of like an MRI thing, and they shoot some stuff in your veins. And when it get in your veins, it feels like an elephant sitting on your chest. And what they're trying to do is see how much pressure your heart can handle. And I told that lady, if you would have went one more second, my wife would have been rich. I said, if you would have went one more second, y'all trying to kill a brother in here. I say, if that's what a heart attack feel like, I don't want no parts, and I couldn't catch a breath, and it just felt like it was just slowly crunching. You know what I'm talking about? I said, boy, this ain't no joke. Well, God has a spiritual stress test. He'll put some pressure on you. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying? He'll put you in a pressure cooker. Anybody ever been in the pressure cooker? Anybody ever said, if one more thing happened, I just can't take no more? Anybody ever been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but was scared to answer the phone because you didn't want no more bad news? I can't take another death. I can't take another divorce. I can't take another child calling me talking about I'm locked up again. I can't take another joker strung out on drugs. Father, when you gonna help me? Pressure. He said he'll put pressure because he's trying to produce something in you. Ah, and here is the verse. We're hastening to end right here. But I got to leave you with this verse of scripture. Isaiah 48:10 says this. I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. My God, you mean to tell me, Lord, you put me in a furnace of affliction? That's what we're talking about, y'all. A furnace of affliction means that God will put you in a situation where you're being afflicted, but he's doing it to try you that you may come forth as pure gold. Listen to what a silversmith said. A silversmith who makes silver, he was asked the question, how do you know? You know, when they're stirring the silver and it's melted down, same thing with gold, but especially silver. If you ever seen them when they melt down, y'all ever seen a big old pot of molten hot silver? And they say what they do is, you know, they stir it around, and then when the impurities rise to the top, they have like a skimmer or net and they pull it off and take all the impurities out. And they keep doing that process until something happens. And the silversmith said, we know when the silver is ready is when I can see my reflection in the silver. God sent me to tell you that's what he does with us. He puts us in situations. He's trying to see himself in you. Yeah, yeah. He say, anybody ever notice that you keep going through the same thing? You ever been in one of those type situations? Why I keep going through the same cycle? Seem like a cycle because you ain't learned the lesson yet. And so what God does, he's not like these school systems nowadays. People get diplomas and don't know where Alabama at on the map. He don't do that. No, God said you can be 36, mustache, and still in kindergarten spiritually. Still sitting right here spiritually. And folk get saved today and preaching next week because they sought my face wholeheartedly. They were hungry and thirsty for righteousness. He said, but if you don't want to get it, I'll keep you going. That's why they went 40 years around and around and around. They weren't like walking a long way. They were going in circles. Do you remember when it was time for them to stop? The word of the Lord say, you have circled this mountain long enough. That's what God has sent me to tell somebody here today. He said, you have circled that problem long enough. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to allow the Lord to turn and make you into what he want to make. He want to see himself in you. You have long enough. Long enough you've been going through this. So I'm closing, and I leave you with this. I believe what Jesus wants us to get from this message today, as he told them brothers in Matthew 16, I believe Jesus wants us to understand that sometimes the greatest act of faith is when we're not asking and trusting for a miracle. Yeah. When we're not, I ask him, Lord, I say, I'm going to need an example, Lord, because I know this is tough. We live in the day of signs and wonders. We live in the day that folk have deliverance services. We live in the day where folk start deliverance ministries. So how can I tell these people and they get it and understand that what you're looking for is not somebody who need to be delivered every week? Help me, Lord. He say, if you got a deliverance ministry, at some point it need to be just teaching. Because every you shouldn't have to be delivering folk every week. Come on, you know what I'm saying? You don't hear what I'm saying? You should be able to just come in and praise the deliverer and stop wanting to be excited about deliverance. Come on, y'all. So, Lord, I say I need an example that they can relate to. All right. Please help me, team. I need you to get Daniel chapter 3, and I'm through. Verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3. And if you can, get the Message Bible. Daniel 3, 16 and 18. This is the story of those three Hebrew boys. Y'all know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego is his name, yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were to be thrown into the fiery furnace simply because they obeyed God. King Nebuchadnezzar had made this golden, this image that said, if you don't bow down to this image, then you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he wouldn't bow down. But here we have these three Hebrew boys. They were teenagers at the time as well. And here they are standing in faith. I say your faith is going to have to go on trial, y'all. What I love about this is it answers my question, Lord, give me an example. Because you're going to see right here in the text. Let me read it, then I'll come back and tell you. Maybe you'll see it. Listen to verses 16 and 17 through Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answer King Nebuchadnezzar. They say, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still not going to serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Here is the message. Nowhere in their statement did you see them ask God to deliver them. They say, I don't need a miracle. All I know is my faith says that my God is more than able to deliver me if he so will. So devil, do what you want, but I ain't gonna bow, I ain't gonna bend, and I ain't going back. And even if he don't deliver me, that's all right too. You know why? Because I ain't scared of your fire. Because you can't burn something that's already on fire. Yeah. God, you don't hear what I'm saying. When you get on fire for the things of God and for your God, You won't be scared of the devil's hell.
Hallelujah.
Because you can't burn what's already on fire.
Hallelujah.
Do I have anybody in
Hallelujah.
Here that's on fire for Hallelujah. The things of God?
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Anybody. Anybody.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
God said, it's just a test. Everybody stand. It's just a test.
Hallelujah.
Everybody stand.